There we are back. Welcome back to another episode of From College to Combine. I am your host, Michael Ciccoli, and of course, with my co-host, Riley Millett. How are you doing today, Riley?
I'm good.
You seem wacky. You seem wacky today.
Wacky? I'll come over there and whack you.
Okay, well, that seems uncalled for, but, you know, a lot of people realize the show is normally Wednesday night. And for some reason, we're here on a Thursday night. Why is that, Riley? You know, I think you might know more about it, you know, than I would.
I went to the Red Sox game last night and they got smoked because Nick Pavetta is a bellyacher. So that's why it's tonight and not last night.
Okay, so you're already burning bridges, just taking shots. You know, I'm not the baseball guy, but what?
Burning my bridge with Nick Pavetta. That's the bridge I'm burning.
With the Red Sox organization right now, honestly. You know, it feels like it.
Hey, if you can't be criticized, then get off my block.
Absolutely. Honestly, that does seem like sound reasoning. And, you know, spring is sprung, you know. So that's all I got to say. I'm feeling awfully good today. And, you know, part of the reason is because we have a stellar show lined up for you today. So today we are going to be we're going to start off some news. Obviously, the Deebo Samuel news that broke, I think it was early yesterday. So we're going to touch in on that as well as the AJ Brown little saga, and we're not going to take too much time because we're going to dive into starting at the top, ending at the bottom of the first round, going through every single pick, what we think is going to happen ahead of next week's draft beginning Thursday, and of course before we start, I want to give a shout out to our lovely host above us. I put the wrong thing somewhere. But thank you, too, for frequency's sake, the guys that are hosting us right now on this amazing platform immediately sent out there. And thank you to IDP guys. Have their rookie mag. It is 1 week away from the draft. You can still order now, get access to everything you might possibly want. I'm not sure why you wouldn't, you know, some great content there. Amazing Discord channels. You can read about cow medicine. What other group can you say that with? So, yeah, no, you can, Riley. Bovine medicine. Tune into that channel. Trust us. We are professionals. So, but without further ado, let's start with the news of the show. Obviously, the Deebo Samuel declaring a trade. What do you make of that?
So, in the past, when wide receivers especially this offseason, when they have shown that they're unhappy with their current situations, they request a trade, I say it's probably not going to happen. They're probably not going to get traded, but that hasn't been the case. Tyreek Hill got traded. Davante Adams got traded. And normally I would just dismiss this right away and say this is probably not going to happen, but I don't really think we can say that anymore. So I think the likelihood that Deebo Samuel gets traded is pretty high. As for landing spots right now, I couldn't tell you. I mean, everyone's saying Jets because they make the most sense. They have the most to offer and they have the biggest need at the position. But it's kind of just been such a whirlwind with all this mess around wide receiver contracts.
Yeah, and we have DJ commenting in the chat immediately with, you know, sending Deebo to KC. And KC's definitely going to be one of those people making those phone calls. I think KC, I think Green Bay, and I think the Jets are going to be the three front runners with this. I am not as convinced that he's off the roster. And there's a difference between Tyreek and this, right? Where part of the reason Tyreek got moved is because, you know, he wanted to be paid all this money. And the Chiefs were close to it, but they couldn't reach final common ground. And a reason for that is because they are paying their quarterback $500 million. They are not paying Trey Lance $500 million. Now, a very easy way to clear up $25 million for Deebo Samuel, should the 49ers deem it necessary, is to move their $25 million quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo. Well, that is a really easy, quick switch right there where they could fix the cap if they choose to do so. But whether that's going to happen, I don't know. Jimmy Garoppolo, is he on this roster in week one? Honestly, it feels like a very hand-in-hand situation.
I don't think so. I think he'll find a home. I think somehow the Panthers won't draft the quarterback, and then they'll trade for Jimmy Garoppolo to start the season. That's kind of just my guess. I mean, nothing's off the table for them at this point. I imagine they trade someone or draft someone in the first round, but you never know with that team. They've made it clear that they're willing to pass up quarterback prospects, very good quarterback prospects like Justin Fields last year for players at other premium positions.
Yeah, and we're obviously going to get to those drafting slots, especially for the Panthers, who have that prime number six spot, very shortly. But I do want to quickly touch on, you know, Deebo Samuel. Let's say part of his gripe now is that he does not want to use as a running back. Makes perfect sense. Not good for his body. He's a perfectly capable receiver where, you know, anybody saying otherwise, you know, he had 1,400 receiving yards. Let's chill, all right? Like, it happened because he's amazing after the catch, and that's not just because you're starting in the backfield. So I don't know if his value is possibly going to be higher, you know, outside of the 49ers. I think that is still his best spot, regardless of rushing ability. If he goes to KC, if he goes to Green Bay, still be plenty excited. If he goes to the Jets, I'll still be excited. But I do think no matter where he goes, that's a knock. Is that something you agree with? Or?
Yeah, I do. I stand by my take that Kyle Shanahan is the second best offensive coach in the league right now behind Sean McVay. And, you know, he's gotten so good at using players in unique ways, which, you know, funny enough, ended up being the downfall with Deebo Samuel because he got used more in the backfield, and that's part of the reason he wants to be traded. So I would rather have Deebo Samuel on the 49ers in a system that uses him creatively and a system I trust, not to say that Andy Reid isn't a good coach, not to say that Matt LaFleur hasn't had a great start to his head coaching career with the Packers, but it certainly does seem hard to believe that Deebo can top his fantasy production that he had with the 49ers.
Yeah, I completely agree. And, you know, before we dive into the mock draft, I want to quickly touch on A.J. Brown, Terry McLaurin, other names that have been rumored as holdouts. Right now, we're all, you know, we have voluntary workouts, so skipping those are not, that's not a big deal in the slightest. But what odds do you think A.J. Brown, I'll just say this right now. Deebo Samuel, trade or extended?
Trade.
Where do you think he's going?
Jets. That's what I'll say right now. That okay. Seems like a kind of a hot spot for, you know, a big free agent or a big, you know, trade potential character. They've been involved in every talk possible.
Yep, I think he gets extended, but Juwan Jennings is somebody you should be picking up in your dynasty leagues just in case. But obviously Ayuk would get a big bump. AJ Brown, extended or traded?
AJ Brown will get extended is my guess. So will Terry McLaurin. In these situations that are a little bit different, holdouts are different than trade requests in my mind. You know, like a lot of the times when guys hold out, especially teams like the Titans and teams like the Commanders who aren't totally pressed against the cap like the Chiefs kind of were, I think they'll figure it out.
Yeah, I think the Titans will. It also all comes down to alternative options, right? Where you need the 49ers could talk themselves into Kittle and Ayuk and maybe a rookie, you know, bring in there. It's much harder for the Titans to talk themselves into, you know, the people behind AJ Brown, where right now they brought in a free agent wide receiver that's escaping me right now. But no Robert one that's Woods. Robert Woods. Not insulting Robert Woods, but it's you're asking an awful lot to rely on Robert Woods to be your wide receiver one at this point. And the same obviously goes for the people behind Terry McLaurin, whether that's, you know, De'Ami Brown or, you know,
Curtis Samuel.
No one that's really Curtis Samuel, who has also not exactly been a proven player.
Not a reliable option.
So I do think they'll figure all those guys out, and they do have financial leverage where they can just franchise tag, they could just wait. So it is tougher for those guys to hold out than it would be, you know, and that also applies to Deebo. But I do think extensions get done for all of them. I think Terry McLaurin is the most likely to get traded, but, you know, no need to waste more time on that until we actually have something more tangible to consider. Yeah. So do you want to get into the meat of the show, Riley?
Please.
I am so excited about this part.
The meat and the potatoes.
Listen, the meat of the potatoes. You know, you brought home some good Easter ham, you know.
Oh, I did.
I noticed you did. Yeah, smelled good. But, yeah, and before I do that, I want to give a quick shout-out to ourselves, because why not? You can follow me at Michael_Ciccoli on Twitter. You can follow Riley here at Riley_Millette.
New microphone, by the way.
He's got a new microphone. And again, which all encourages you to check out the YouTube version of this, because I'll tell you this, like, it, Riley, if you think I look good, Riley's looking 10 out of 10.
Fresh out of the shower. Fresh out of the shower.
Yeah.
A new t-shirt.
I'm wearing a polo even, you know, yep. This is just a lot to see. And ultimately,
what's that? Production value is very important.
The production value is incredibly important. And, you know, where you can find that production value is IDP guys on YouTube. Definitely check it out. Follow for frequency's sake as well. Great video content. So, without further ado, let's get into the mock draft. The Jaguars are on the clock, Riley. Who are they taking? We separate. This is going to work for everybody. We each have separate mock drafts. We'll go through who Riley thinks the team on the clock is going to take. I'll go through what I think they're going to take, and we'll just keep going from there. The Jaguars pick 101. Riley, I'll let you kick off this amazing mock draft. You're on the record. Who are the Jaguars starting the draft off with?
Yeah, we'll run through this pretty quickly. We'll talk a little bit more about the guys who are more fantasy relevant, but I'll buy into the Aiden Hutchinson at number one overall. It stinks of smokescreen when the Trevon Walker at number one overall talks start coming up in mid-April, early mid-April it was. Like, you know, that's kind of when false narratives and internet misinformation starts getting floated out there. So I'll believe what we believed a month ago and what we will believe the night before in Hutchinson, number one overall.
Yep, and I completely agree. I know there are people looking at nitpick with Aiden Hutchinson. You know, it comes down to the arm length. He doesn't have supreme arm length of what you would want to see in an athlete. But in terms of burst off the line, there's no one better in this class or in, you know, I'd really say he rivals a lot of people in terms of burst off the line. He's a great technical rusher and out of Michigan. There's only one reason Michigan was as dominant as they were, and that was because of Aiden Hutchinson. So, yeah, complete agreement at number one. And moving on to number two, just because we have a lot of picks to get into, Trevon Walker is the selection at number two by the Lions. The Lions are going to take the Georgia edge. It makes sense. Trevon Walker has been a steady riser despite having a pretty low pass rush win rate. I know there's a lot of people that kind of doubt him. I do consider myself in that tier. But, I, you know, with the Lions need a pass rusher. He feels like someone that Dan Campbell is going to love and want to work with. A lot of, you know, analysts are, you know, making this connection. Riley, is there anything you want to add? Because I noticed that you also had Trevon Walker going number two.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't, you know, mark him down as a number two overall prospect, but based on, you know, what we're hearing, I mean, you have to believe what they're saying a little bit. I wouldn't, you know, pencil him in at number one overall, but he's been a pretty steady riser through this entire pre-draft process.
Yeah, and there's definitely people that like him. I mean, ESPN projected Trevon Walker as literally the best pass rusher in this class. That's not something I agree with, but I can't act like that doesn't exist. And, you know, he's got an interesting physical and athletic metrics compared to what he's actually done on the field. Obviously, that Georgia unit was something to behold, and you can't take it. It's not like he's a bad prospect by any means. I don't mean to sound not excited about him. I don't think he's number two overall worthy, but maybe that speaks to his class more than it should speak to Walker. Yeah, so on the board at number three are the Houston Texans, a team whose team needs literally are everything. That is what a lot of people call it as. That is what I would call it as. The Texans are on the clock, Riley. Whose name are they calling?
So of the premium positions left, you know, the top two edge rushers are off the board. There isn't a top-tier quarterback in this class. So I gave them Evan Neal, the offensive tackle from Alabama. I mean, not much else to say other than they need everything in this position. And in my opinion, Evan Neal is the best player on the board, and he plays a premium position.
Yeah, Evan Neal to me is one of the best players in his class. Like I think he's one of the few people in this group where he is so close to not bustable. Like his floor is so high, he's going to be a really good player in this league for a really long time. I have Ikemo Kwanu from North Carolina State going here.
Nailed that pronunciation.
I think what's that?
Nailed that pronunciation.
I don't know if I did, but either way, I think that's who they're gonna go with here. He's the guy with the slightly higher upside given his more, you know, who he is, and that's how people are projecting him as. I understand Evan Neal. I think Ekwonu has a little bit more versatility to play and give the Texans whatever they end up needing, and I think that's the direction they're going. No problem if it was Evan Neal. I think very highly of Evan Neal. So, that is the Texans. Texans are
cool. We needed that first round, huh?
And now we have a somewhat spicy pick here. With the Jets on the clock at 104, and there are, similar to the Texans, there is a lot of different options for the Jets to go to. I'd say even more than the Texans. I think the Texans are somewhat bookend to offensive tackle at four. I think they go a lot of things, but I think they'll probably go tackle. We both agree there. The Jets could go for almost anything.
Mm-hmm. Let me go first because I think my pick makes more sense.
Please. I did have your pick there originally. I've thought a lot about it.
So I have Sauce Gardner, the cornerback from Georgia, going there. His quarterback has become one of the more premium positions in recent years. You know, we've seen J.C. Horn and Patrick Surtain go in the top 10 picks. And this is a sore area of need for the Jets, who are, you know, really starting to build and, you know, trying to trudge up that uphill battle of returning to relevancy, especially with, the Patriots kind of on a downward trend. The Dolphins kind of been stuck in limbo for a couple years. So this is what they need to stay competitive. And I think he's a great player.
Sauce Gardner allowed one catch in the red zone on around like 116 snaps last season. So and zero touchdowns, a zero passer rating in the red zone. Sauce Gardner is a dog, and some of that I'm sure Robert Saleh would love to have. And I do completely get that pick. I'm going with a little bit of outside the box and somewhat reminiscent of what people viewed as maybe a reach from Cleveland Farrell of the Raiders a couple while ago. But Jermaine Johnson out of Florida State is, I think, the pick here. And I am all about Jermaine Johnson. I think his handwork is tremendous. I understand that people worried about him transferring, going to Florida State, switching to a new system, and that new system fit him, and that worked. But that's a very similar system to what Robert Saleh likes to run in New York, and I think that's a perfect fit. The Jets are sorely lacking a premier pass rusher. Finding one of those at four is the same reason why you have guys like Hutchinson and Trevon Walker going ahead. You want a good pass rusher. People have built arguments that pass rushers are more important than quarterbacks. This is a spot where they can get one. I don't think they're going to risk it. I think they just take Jermaine Johnson, a guy that is a perfect fit for what they want to do. Completely get the Sauce Gardner pick, though. I really was weighing that heavily.
Mm-hmm.
So, right after, we stay in New York. The Giants go on the clock at number five. Another team that does have quite a lot of needs. Who do you think the Giants are going
to
take?
I gave them Ike Mukwonu, the tackle from NC State, who you drafted to the Texans, and you gave the Giants Evan Neal. So we're pretty much swapping offensive tackle prospects here. It's pretty clear that the Giants need some serious offensive line help, seeing what Saquon Barkley was able to do with his rushing attempts and how little time Daniel Jones had in the pocket. I mean, it's a slam dunk pick. The top of this offensive tackle class, these two guys and the next guy we're going to have on this list are pretty valuable prospects in this class.
Yeah, no, they absolutely are. And it is, I'm starting to think, like, if something happens in this class, I wouldn't be surprised if the tackle slipped maybe a little bit further than we thought, just because it's a pretty deep group this year, surprisingly deep, honestly. But I do think the Giants, you know, they won't repeat the same mistake that they made by passing on Jedrick Wills for Andrew Thomas. I think they rectify that here with Evan Neal, stick with a Bama product. So safe and feels like a no-brainer at this pick, honestly. And we both go tackle. We both recognize the need. So not much more to say, given that we both have these players drafted off the board and we agree on the positional need. And now we have the fun one. We teased to it earlier. The Panthers are on the clock, sitting at number six. They do not pick in the second round. They do not pick in the third round. This is a big decision.
Yeah, so I gave them Malik Willis. I think he's the best quarterback prospect in this class. He gives a lot to the offense that other guys in this class might not be able to. So simple as that. I think he's the best player. The Panthers desperately need this to work out, desperately need a quarterback. And given the fact that they have such little draft capital in this class. I think they have to pull the trigger on a quarterback in the first round. They have to.
And that's the big reason I bring up the, you know, the draft capital, right? Because, you know, if they're not picking the second round, they're not picking in the third round. Not only do they not have the ammo to trade for a Jimmy Garoppolo potentially, you know, they could maybe if Jimmy Garoppolo's price keeps falling down to like a fifth, but you know, they really, or they trade a 2023 pick, but they are bookended here. And given how David Tepper is desperate to get his guy, Matt Rhule is on the hot seat. I don't have them taking Malik Willis. I agree with half of what you said. They take a quarterback here. They take Kenny Pickett, and he is not the best quarterback in his class, but that's the guy that the Panthers want to sink on. I think Kenny Pickett's exactly who Matt Rhule has been falling in love with in this process. I think it makes so much sense for him to go there. I think it will be a colossal failure, but I do think this is exactly where Kenny Pickett falls. Kenny Pickett goes number six. You have Malik Willis. For what it's worth, I think Malik Willis will be a much better, is going to be a better player. But Kenny Pickett, a player who broke out in his fifth year with very itty-bitty small hands, goes here at number six. Again, just what I think is going to happen, not what I would do. So, the Giants are going back on the clock thanks to the trade with for the Bears made to get Justin Fields last year, picking here at seven. This is where I do have them taking Sauce Gardner. This is where I think Sauce Gardner is in strong consideration for them over Evan Neal, and they decide, you know what, I'm going to stick with the tackle. I don't want the Panthers to get any funny ideas. And also the Panthers went cornerback last year. They're not going to take one here, most likely. So I think they take Sauce Gardner here, a guy we've already spoken very highly of. I think Sauce Gardner is going to be such a good player in this league. But, you know, that's I can't imagine he falls past the Giants, to be honest. Who do you have here?
I gave the Giants a guy who a lot of people seem to be more split on at this point in the year than I imagine, and Kyle Hamilton, the safety from Notre Dame. He started, you know, pre-draft process being pretty much a locked-in top, definitely locked-in top 10 and maybe even a top 5 pick, and he's kind of been, people have been mocking him to slide outside the top 10. I just believe what I saw, you know, watching Notre Dame games live, that he was everywhere. He was flying around, flying off the roof. And valuable IDP guy, get a lot of tackles.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. And honestly, I'm going to segue that right into the Falcons pick at number eight, because I have the Falcons taking Kyle Hamilton, a guy that is slipping in the process in a way. Eight isn't slipping too far, but people thought he would go top four, top five. And I thought that was high at the time, not because of his ability, but just because he's a safety. It's so difficult for them to stay in the top five. People are looking for any excuse to take him. And I wouldn't be surprised if Kyle Hamilton slipped outside of the top 10. I don't know if you would be, but I really wouldn't be if he was a surprise fall. But I do think the Falcons are a perfect spot for him, where he would fit in perfectly. He can do everything they possibly want him to do. They need help in that secondary. They haven't really had strong safety play in quite some time, and they used to value it heavily. So Kyle Hamilton is a very safe pick for the Falcons. And for a team just looking for talent, I think it's where they go.
And I gave the Falcons a pretty unsafe pick. Kayvon Thibodeau, edge rusher from Oregon, that has kind of also been sliding down boards lately with questions about his interview process and things like that. I think he's the last of a top-tier prospect in this edge class, another premium position. And the Falcons were just absolutely reeked rushing the passer last year. They really need him.
Yeah, no, they absolutely do. Grady Jarrett needs a lot of help. But do you view Jermaine Johnson not in the same tier as Kayvon Thibodeau?
Probably not. I think he's the top of the second tier. And there are a few guys in that tier.
You put him closer to the Karlaftis and
Karlaftis, yeah. That tier. Yeah,
okay. That's understandable. I know there's a lot of people like that. I think highly of Jermaine Johnson, so I'd put him in that top tier. Thibodeau's probably still in there, but I am a little bit concerned because the red flags are genuine. But that would be the Falcons, of which honestly pass rusher does make a lot of sense. But number nine, we have the Seahawks picking through the Broncos thanks to the Russell Wilson trade. Who do you have the Seattle Seahawks taking?
I will give them Kenny Pickett. They posted on Twitter today a picture of their quarterback room, which was Drew Lock, Geno Smith, and someone else I didn't even recognize. And there was a ball bag on the floor in front of them. And someone commented and said that ball bag will probably win the job before any of them. So, that kind of speaks to where their positional lead is at right now.
Did you just insult Jacob Eason like that? I just want you to know that. Jacob Eason? It was Jacob Eason. And I won't lie. I am on the record. I am on the record as a Jacob Eason truther. Not that he's going to win that job by any means, but either way, I also have the Seahawks going QB, which is interesting, right? Because I think Seattle could still go a lot of directions. I don't think they're cornered into going quarterback here, but I have them taking Malik Willis, who, you know, he can be on the move. He can run a similar system. They don't have to ask him to do too much, where I think Malik Willis will need a little bit of seasoning, and I think he can be eased into it. They can sacrifice Drew Lock for a few games if they really want to. And Malik Willis makes a lot of sense. He has a lot of raw tools. He is my QB1 of this class. Yeah, so I have Malik Willis. You have Kenny Pickett, two guys that have been already taken by, you know, one or the other, by one of us. So, yeah, let's move on to the next pick. The Jets are back on the clock, picking at number 10 through the Seahawks. I think that's thanks to Jamal Adams still, right?
I believe it is. I think this is the last Jamal Adams chest.
That's really funny to me. But, so the Jets are on the clock. Still a lot of holes. We had them taking you had them taking Sauce Gardner before. I had them taking Jermaine Johnson. Who do you think they take here?
I'll give them Garrett Wilson. They've been, as I mentioned earlier, they've been, you know, heavily invested in wide receivers. They've, you know, thrown their chips on the table for everyone that's hit the market. And assuming they don't trade anyone that's on the market right now, any of the three wide receivers we talked about earlier, I think they take what I believe is the best playmaker in the draft this year at wide receiver. And this is the place that they would draft a wide receiver. And they have their pick of the litter here.
Yeah. And I won't lie. There's still a world I tilt to this pick next week, because I do think Garrett Wilson of Ohio State makes a lot of sense here that you know, you just had him take. I currently have Derek Stingley, cornerback, LSU, guy that has ridiculous upside. He's kind of slipped a little bit in the recent years, but, you know, it was an amazing guy just a couple of years ago, had some injury concerns. But like you said, we both have them addressing the secondary in the first round. The secondary needs a lot of help. They really didn't do too much to fix it. You have them taking Sauce Gardner earlier. I have them taking Derek Stingley. I think it's a deep enough wideout group where they're going to look at that at the top of the second round instead of, you know, taking Garrett Wilson here. I totally see that that as a possibility, because Garrett Wilson, you know, from the Jet Beat reporters I've been following, that Garrett Wilson's name has been popping up left, right, and center. But given the positional need, I do currently have them taking Derek Stingley. But I can easily transition that to the number 11 pick with the Washington Commanders on the clock, making their first pick as the Commanders. And I have Garrett Wilson off the board, the guy that you just said going a pick before out of Ohio State. And Garrett Wilson is a fantastic player that can win in the slot. He can win out wide. He's a good route runner, but he can also go up and get it. He can win deep. He can win short. I have some concerns relative to his size, which is why I have him, you know, at my wide receiver 2 as opposed to my wide receiver 1. But I still think Garrett Wilson is a tremendous wideout and a no-brainer for the first guy off the board.
And I'll give him Charles Cross, offensive tackle from Mississippi State. Premium position, I say that all the time, but that's, you know, what happens at this point early in the draft. I think Charles Cross is at the lower end of the first tier of offensive tackles, not quite Eel or Ekwonu, but he's a very good prospect and he serves a good need for the Commanders, who should protect Carson Wentz as if he's vital. Not because he needs to stay healthy, he does, but not because they are invested in his future, but just because that would embarrass them if they didn't.
Yeah, that's totally fair. I personally also like the idea of pairing two Ohio State guys in Terry McLaurin and Garrett Wilson. And I don't think they can count on Curtis Samuel, and they just need some wide receiver help, and they really did not address it enough. But I can move on from our conflicting decisions, Riley, to go to number 12 and go to Minnesota, the Vikings. They're on the clock, and we You have a guy that we've already taken. Let's start with your boring selection that I've already taken off the board a couple picks earlier.
Yeah, so boring. I'll go with Derek Stingley. Their cornerback room is, you know, not very strong. Patrick Peterson is the head of it. Cam Dantzler was good in his rookie year, but he was kind of brutal last year. So, you know, they need some help in that secondary.
No, they absolutely do. Derek Stingley makes a lot of sense. And I'm going to go with a little bit outside the box. I'm going with Boye Mafe, the linebacker out of Minnesota. I think Minnesota uses their linebackers in that 3-4 system more than most players. So, you know, somewhat of a reach pick that I think we could say on the draft, but I think he's a really good scheme fit, a really good player, and somebody that I really think is going to sneak in this first round. He can go as high as, you know, number 12. He did visit with the Vikings as well. Not, you know, they visit with a lot of players, but Boye Mafe makes a lot of sense. Minnesota guy stays with Minnesota. So we can move on to the 13th pick and stick in Houston. Thanks to the Deshaun Watson trade, the Texans are picking at number 13, where the Browns would normally be picking. And this is where I have the end of the slide for Kayvon Thibodeau. And I think that fills a big need. I have them doubling up at edge currently based on pure best player available. That could change again come next week when I do a final mock draft, when I'll tease to a little bit later, but Kayvon Thibodeau makes a lot of sense in terms of just pure talent. He shouldn't be available at 13. So I think the Texans just say, hold up, we're going to stop him. We're going to stop this slide. Trevon Walker can slide inside if need be.
And I'll stop the slide for your boy Jermaine Johnson. You know, same reasons. We both gave them offensive tackles with a number 3 overall pick, and we'll give them edge rushers here just because it's such an important position, and they don't really have it filled by anyone at this moment. So,
yeah, and I misspoke earlier when I talked about Jermaine Walker to the Texans. I just slipped for a second, but that's fine. It's been a long day. So, you know, it's because I haven't had coffee today, Riley. No coffee. But it's nice to see both thinking that the Texans could actually use an edge rusher. Would be nice to have a return to relevance for Houston. That starts with setting some pressures, and they did not have anyone do that last year. So, picking at number 14, the Baltimore Ravens step up. No trade needed. This is where they are naturally selecting. And this is where I have Charles Cross getting picked, a player that is a much better player than where he's being drafted here. But a tremendous value pick, a perfect replacement at tackle from trying to find someone to replace Orlando Brown after that fiasco over the last year and a half. So Charles Cross slides in, instant starter, perfect fit for a run-heavy team that needs to protect Lamar Jackson's ankles. No-brainer pick, honestly, for the Ravens if Charles Cross is still around.
Yeah, you can make a case for edge rusher here, in my opinion, but I'll give them Trevor Penning, the offensive tackle out of Northern Iowa. For all the same reasons you mentioned, I just already have Charles Cross off the board.
Yeah, totally fair. Makes a lot of sense. So number 15, Eagles come up, and I have them drafting a very interesting player. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside gets drafted here, otherwise known as Drake London, and that is a little bit too insulting for Drake London, but I do have Drake London, the USC wideout, becoming the next Philadelphia Eagle. I think it's very important to note here that between the Eagles and their next pick at 18, you have the Saints and Chargers, who are two wide receiver needy teams in a way. Maybe not as much the Chargers, but the Chargers can definitely use a third wideout. That is where I do think the Eagles do pull the trigger here at wideout as opposed to waiting on it. But with that in mind, I do think they go with a more big body receiver to pair with Devonta Smith, who is a little bit more of a nuanced player, not as much of a contested ball guy. That is where I think Drake London will fit in well. I don't know if he's all that as a player, but in terms of a scheme fit and in terms of Jalen Hurts doesn't have to try that hard to get him the ball because he's not going to be that accurate. You know, a 6'4 wideout can do that.
I'll go cornerback. I'll go Trent McDuffie from Washington. I'm not going to go wide receiver, although hint, hint, the Eagles pick again in three slots. So for now, I'll go with Trent McDuffie and same reasons for the Vikings is that their secondary was brutal last year and the Vikings made a pretty strong run for themselves in the playoffs. And they're kind of low-key been a team to watch in the NFC East ever since the Cowboys just never got their feet off the ground. So, yeah, I think they go cornerback.
And I do like the idea of the Eagles bulking up on defense. That's like when they won the Super Bowl, you know, they had some good offensive play, but with Nick Foles, it was more so, you know, stable offensive play and that really strong defense. So I think they could be trying to get back to that. It makes a lot of sense going corner there with the secondary issues they had because it's been pretty bad for a couple of years. But with all that said, the next pick on the board, we have the Saints picking via the Colts through the Eagles, thanks to Carson Wentz, I believe. I'd imagine that's the connection there. But Trevor Penning is my pick. The tackle out of Northern Iowa plays with a mean streak, somebody that they desperately need to fill in. If Trevor Penning's on the board, he's kind of the last of those top-tier tackles. So I think that's kind of a plug-and-play decision. When they're trying to find that Teron Armstead replacement, they can play Trevor Penning there. They need to protect somebody on the edge. And going from the best tackle to anybody is going to be an adjustment, but replacing him with a first-round caliber player can never hurt.
I'll go wide receiver Drake London here. The Saints sorely need some firepower on that offense, and even though Michael Thomas is coming back, you don't really know how he's going to play after missing so much time. And Drake London is such an electric downfield threat that they haven't really had.
Is he really an electric downfield threat?
Yeah, I think he is. Yes.
Electric. Yeah, that's one way to put it. Yeah.
Watch his highlights, Dave, and tell me it's not electric.
Oh, highlights. Oh, for sure. Watch his highlights. Watch
and tell me it's not full of highlights.
Watch his highlights and tell me you ain't a casual Riley. But it's good that we're getting all contentious here a week before the draft. So right here at the number 17, the Chargers come on the board. The LA Chargers missing out on the playoffs yet again in hilarious fashion. Who do they take to get back on track? I love your pick here. I don't think it'll happen, but I do love your pick for it.
I'm going to go Jameson Williams from Alabama. And honestly, I could see him getting drafted higher than this for the same reason that Henry Ruggs went number one overall in the class is because speed is such an important asset. He's had some injury concerns, which really causes guys to slide, which is why I'll, you know, put him in the middle of the first round. But he is an electric downfield threat. That is his definition. And the Chargers are kind of looking for someone like that, even though Mike Williams had enjoyed a breakout first half of the year, kind of, fade a little bit in the second half, still a solid player. But with Keenan Allen getting up there in age and not, you know, getting enough from their, wide receiver 3 and 4, I think they're ready to go all in on Justin Herbert, which they've proved, you know, maximize the cap space before you have to extend Justin Herbert and make him one of the top three highest paid quarterbacks in the league. Surround him with as much talent as you can before you have to do that.
Yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense. And with the Chargers as well, with Jameson Williams, you don't have to rush him on the field. The Chargers don't need him to be an instant impact, and he doesn't need to be coming off that ACL tear as well. I have them going with Trent McDuffie, the cornerback out of Washington. Again, one of those just kind of, you know, he slips a little bit here from where some people are having him. There's a wide range where people think Trent McDuffie will go, but fills a big need. I think they're bulking up on that defense in this, you know, with the mindset that Justin Herbert will do enough on offense. I just want this defense to be able to carry its salt. Trent McDuffie helps do that. That secondary could use some help. Trent McDuffie will be there. Take a shot every time I say Trent McDuffie. Next on the board, the Eagles come back. You had them taking, who was it? Was it Trent McDuffie?
I gave him Trent McDuffie here.
You gave him Trent McDuffie. I gave them wide receiver Drake London. Who do you give him here?
I'm going to continue my run of three straight wide receivers and go Treylon Burks, a player that I think is a better prospect than the two guys above him. But, we've seen him get mocked in the 20s in the first round. I'll trust the evaluators on that and say that, you know, Treylon Burks' test scores kind of are causing him to fall lower than other guys in this class, but super good prospect, gives so much to the Eagles offense, you know, some physicality that they don't really have, even though I do think Devontae Smith can be a very physical player. But Jalen Hurts isn't quite there yet. So I think if you give him another weapon opposite him, like Treylon Burks, it kind of forces him to have that step if he's capable.
I don't, you haven't been around for this revelation I've had, Riley, but Treylon Burks is officially the my guy of this class for me. It's over guys I've liked, like Tyler Allgeier. It's over everything else. Treylon Burks is, I'm all in. Three, you know, thumbs together, full pushing the chips in on Treylon Burks. I don't have him going here because I don't think the NFL is respecting him in the same way. But we'll get to his name later. Don't you worry. I have them going with Jordan Davis, defensive tackle out of Georgia. There's some concerns on whether when he's put to the full every down workload that, you know, a first round player has to be as a defensive tackle. You need him to get to the quarterback. Can he keep that energy up? Howie Roseman's the guy that's going to take the chance on that. They know the value of a strong defensive tackle. He doesn't have to step in and be a superstar on day one. He's got the raw talent to build on. I think it makes a lot of sense here in the defensive system that the Eagles always run. Jordan Davis will be the pick. But 19, the Saints also come back on the clock via the Eagles. Kind of they did the trade a couple weeks ago to do this swap. The Saints pick here. I have them going. I'm going to jump in front of you there. I saw you winding up the mic.
Go ahead.
This is where I think Jameson Williams ends up. I think this is where the Saints sorely have, for a while now, have sorely lacked a deep threat. And Jameson Williams is the guy that will unlock that element to the field. Michael Thomas works the possession. Jameson Williams works the deep. Tre'Quan Smith was the deep guy. I don't ever want to see Tre'Quan Smith as the deep guy again. Williams makes a lot of sense here. And I think this is where he goes. I think the 5 to 10 spot, like I think he would go 5 to 10 spots higher if he wasn't on the torn ACL. But sitting here at 19, this feels like the sweet spot for him.
And I'll go a little bit bold and I'll give them George Karlaftis, the edge rusher from Purdue. Even though the Saints went edge rusher last year in the first round with Peyton Turner, but their defense is aging. And this is a system, especially now that Dennis Allen is their head coach, that really values having a strong defensive line. So I think they're going to try to, grease the hinges on that revolving door, if you will, with George Karlaftis.
You know, Cam Jordan is getting up there in age. I Peyton Turner had a good year last year. I do like Peyton Turner. I think he's, rounding into form. And I don't know if they'll go Karlaftis here, but I do like Karlaftis. I think he's somebody that's slipping a little bit too far for no reason. But now we're on to one of the most – I brought this up to you a couple weeks ago of someone that is – like the Steelers are on the clock here at 20. I'm a Steelers fan. I have made no secrets about that. But the Steelers, I think, have one of the most wide range of outcomes with this pick in the entire draft class. I could make an argument for almost every position. Who do you have them taking?
I'll give them Zion Johnson, the guard from Boston College. As I mentioned to you before, I think they're the Steelers' moves of Band-Aid fixes on the offensive line and signing some, bargain bin offensive linemen is not going to hold out for very long. I think they can plug the holes until a guy like Zion Johnson is ready to have a full-time starting role in the NFL. But that's I think the Steelers need to return to their their age-long system of having a strong offensive line right away.
It was a good system. It worked. And if it was a tackle here, I would subscribe. But I don't think they go guard here, where I think Zion Johnson is kind of limited to that. I don't think he'll start a tackle. I wouldn't project it as that. And given that they signed a lot of guards and center, I don't think they'll go interior. But I do have them go bold here. I have them go Matt Corral out of Ole Miss. Now, this is a pick I can talk myself into. After a lot of thought, I think I can talk myself into it happening. I am putting some stock into – you tell me not to put stock into it. I am putting some stock into Matt Corral attending the first day of the draft. I think he's hearing things, something he knows something's going to happen. I think that – and that also announcement came a couple days after meeting with the Steelers. But Matt Corral is a guy that was his big concern was accuracy and turnovers. Accuracy was still somewhat of a concern. But when he stepped into the new system last year at Ole Miss, unleashed on the move, the turnovers were slashed. He addressed everything you want to everything you're worried about. There are some concerns about maturity, and that's something the Steelers have taken chances on in the past. There are some concerns about the injury, but, the injury, that's not going to be a factor come week one. I don't think the Steelers are going to factor that here when it comes to a long-term decision. Over the few months, I really didn't want the Steelers to go quarterback. I still would be happy if they didn't, but I think quarterback has been the trend for Pittsburgh, and I think that's who they're going to take here.
You do you. That's what I'll say about that.
I hope they go. I hope someone like Jordan Davis falls to them and they take Jordan Davis. But I can't project that. I don't know. We both have Jordan Davis going earlier. And with that said, the Patriots come on. And for the first time in a while, we have a consensus pick.
Yeah, we do. Devin Lloyd, linebacker from Utah, who at the beginning of the draft process, we saw getting drafted in the top 15, maybe even at the top 10. And he slid because of concerns about his, you know, arm length and size. But and it's been said plenty of times, but people who watch the Patriots get demolished by the Bills, you know, they know how much they sorely need some speed and sideline to sideline ability out of their linebacker core. And Devin Lloyd embodies that perfectly.
Yeah, and I think he's a perfect fit for the Patriots system. He's a guy that can do a lot of things. Like, he's a middle linebacker that's 6.5 sacks last year too. You know, he had 11 tackles for a loss. You know, 91 tackles. There's a lot that Devin Lloyd can provide athletically. He's got some limitations in terms of build, like you mentioned, but I think, you know, it just makes so much sense. If Devin Lloyd's on the board, I think I'd be very surprised if the Patriots passed on him. But number 22, the Packers step up through the Raiders thanks to the Devontae Adams trade. Are they going to replace Devontae Adams here?
I say no. I'm going to give him Boye Mafe from Minnesota. He fits their 3-4 offense, the 3-4 defense pretty well. I think you know, he's a solid player. He hasn't always been mocked in the first round, but I'll give him a look here, and especially with the Packers, you know, defense kind of taking a step back last year.
It's interesting that we both have Boye Mafe in the first round. I like that. But And it makes sense as well, trying to, you know, that defense, the defense played well last year, but it didn't miss Adarius Smith. He would step right into that same type of role. I have them trying to replace Devontae Adams here. They do have two first-round picks to mess this up, but I have them taking Chris Olave out of Ohio State. Great blend of the separation that you'd want Aaron Rodgers to have with somebody. You have stable hands. You have a guy that has good size and vertical speed. I think he fills everything that Aaron Rodgers wants in a wideout. Time will tell on whether the Packers actually invest at wide receiver in the first round. I have them taking Chris Olave.
Yeah, I'm not falling into that trap anymore. Until they prove that they can physically select a wide receiver in the first round, I won't do it anymore. So let's move on.
I think they can physically do it, Riley. I think they can physically do it. Mentally, they can't. Mentally, they're like, no. But they haven't traded Devontae Adams in the past.
That's very true, and they lost Marquez Valdes-Scantling in free agency as well. But I can't bring myself to do it. It's not gonna happen.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. And I think the Packers could totally double up at wide receiver in the draft as well. If they trade for Debo in the next week, and it doesn't cost them, and they retain one of the first round picks, I think they could still go wide receiver in the first round. But next up on the clock, the Cardinals, another team with a lot of. I think they can go a few different directions to stay interesting here. The Cardinals, who also came out today and said that they are zero chance of trading Kyler Murray. No surprise there. But who do you have them taking?
I'm going to give them Andrew Booth, the cornerback from Clemson. I think he's kind of just fallen a little bit too far in terms of his talent and the position he plays. And the Cardinals defense needs a little bit of help.
Yeah, I have them taking guard Zion Johnson. You already talked to him out of Boston College. The Cardinals offensive line has been it's been very average, and if they are going to truly commit to Kyler Murray, if they are going to do that, they have to protect that little guy. And that's so insulting. I'm sorry Kyle, but Zion Johnson fills in, steps right in, day one starter. Makes perfect sense to me. I think it'll make perfect sense to them as well. I originally had Andrew Booth here as well, if it makes you feel better. That makes a lot of sense to me too. But now, Cowboys.
You have Dallas. A pick you think makes perfect sense here too.
Yes, I do. I have them taking Treylon Burks, my wide receiver one of this class, and the guy I would take much, much higher if I was an NFL GM. The Cowboys taking Treylon Burks, a lot of Arkansas connections between obviously Burks and then between Jerry Jones. You know, who went to college at Arkansas and has always favored Arkansas. They do need another receiver now that they traded Amari Cooper. Yes, they retain Michael Gallup. Yes, they have C.D. Lamb. But Treylon Burks is, you know, it's the plan for the future. They don't know. Right now, they're convinced C.D. Lamb's a guy. But are they? No, sorry. Let me phrase that right. CeeDee Lamb, they're convinced. But CeeDee Lamb has not proven it yet. Michael Gallup is coming off a big injury. They lost Cedric Wilson, the guy that was kind of a gadget guy for them. Treylon Burks can do a lot to open up this offense. He can do everything from the backfield to out wide to in the slot. It's a value pick as much as a scheme fit, and I think it makes perfect sense here. Who do you have them taking?
I'll go Chris Olave, another guy who I think will probably be undervalued in the draft. The Cowboys offense has just run through super strong firepower, and that's something that they've subscribed to in their draft theory for quite some time, so I'll give him Olave.
It's interesting, because if Treylon Burks wasn't here, I would not draft Olave to the Cowboys. Like, I feel like it's just such a perfect fit in terms of who Jerry Jones is going to pull the, just say, ha, I want him. And I think that'll be Treylon Burks, because I don't know. I do think Olave would also be another value pick here, though. Obviously, I have him go a couple spots higher. But 25, and I'm sure the Bills are in shambles that both, Treylon Burks and Olave and all the other guys ahead of them are off the board here, because I'm sure they would love to take a wide receiver.
That is the end of a tier, though.
It is the end of a tier. And it's a shame for Buffalo and honestly for fantasy owners who would love to see one of these top guys paired with Josh Allen. But Gabriel Davis lives to get another day. Who do you have them taking here?
I'll go Jordan Davis, who you could argue has fallen too far here.
This
is what we see with defensive tackles in the past. I mean, Christian Barmore fell for other reasons, but in terms of pure talent, he should not have been a second-round pick. That's just kind of how the board falls. That's the same reason you don't see safeties and running backs drafted in the first round very often. So easily the best defensive tackle in the class and the number one tackle to come off the board, but I'll give him to the Bills.
Yeah, it's interesting, because I don't think this will happen, because Jordan Davis has something that other defensive tackles doesn't. It's athleticism. Like, that's why we haven't mentioned Devontae Wyatt's name yet, is because Devontae Wyatt has those concerns about, I don't know if he can get to the QB sustainably. I don't think he has that in his repertoire. I think he'll be more of a run stuffer. And he's a guy that was, is being mocked as a first-round guy that I think will slip to the second, like Barmore. I think GMs will take the chance on Davis early to be the next big interior pass rush. But I have the Bills taking Andrew Booth here. They did lose Levi Wallace in free agency. Tre'Davious White coming off the torn ACL. Or was it Achilles? Either way, something devastating. And I think, Andrew Booth makes a lot of sense here for the same reasons you said he shouldn't have slipped before, or a couple spots later, he shouldn't slip here. Slides in, fills a need, makes a lot of sense. So we can move on to the next pick, number 26. We're rounding out the draft here at number 26. The Titans are on the clock.
I'll give the Titans Daxon Hill, the safety from Michigan, who has the versatility to play a lot of different positions in the back and the secondary. A guy I looked at for the Patriots just because they lost J.C. Jackson, and even though Daxon Hill isn't really a boundary cornerback, he can fill a whole lot of holes in the defense and is super versatile. And in for a team that also struggled on defense, and a team whose identity subscribes to being strong in defense and winning through the running game, I think this is a good pick here.
Yeah, and I currently have them taking George Karlaftis, where, Bud Dupree really didn't work out with them. They do blitz their linebackers a little bit more, so going edge here might be a little bit risky, but I do think he's a value pick. I think that's where they're trying to pair and get this pass rush working. Bud Dupree obviously did not really work out over his first year. They invested a lot of money in Harold Landry. I think Karlaftis can line up right on the line, provide just as much of a threat. It's an interesting pick given the scheme, but I do think that in terms of value, this is kind of someone that just makes a lot of sense in terms of technical ability, and he could take a year, and I could totally see it working out in 2023 and beyond. So after that, we have the Buccaneers stepping in at 27, the return of Tom Brady. We both are picking along a similar line here. I like where you're going. I like where I'm going. You kick it off.
I like where I'm going. I'm going to go Tyler Linderbaum, the guy who's played center for Iowa. He can shift to either guard position, but as I'm sure you'll agree, looking at who your pick is, this team has lost a lot of very capable offensive linemen, and they have a 50-year-old quarterback they have to protect.
Yes. 60-year-old quarterback Tom Brady steps in. He's going to get 10 years older every time you say his name. I have Kenyon Green, a more, you know, Tyler Linderbaum is a fantastic player. He's more of a natural center. They do have Ryan Jensen for that. He could totally slide inside, but I have them just going a little bit safer. Start day one, slide Kenyon Green out of Texas A&M, slide him into that guard spot where Ali Marpet vacated when he retired. That just makes a lot of sense to me. You have, they traded for Shaq Mason, right? So he'll start on the right. At right guard, that's more of his natural spot, and Kenyon Green can slide in right on the left. But Linderbaum makes a lot of sense in terms of, I think he's one of the most talented players in this class, just a little limited in terms of he will be an inside guy. That is where he'll play. And he's also only been a center, really. But makes a lot of sense. And with that, we both have these guys going off the board next to the Packers, where I have Tyler Linderbaum going to the Packers, and you have Kenyon Green.
Yeah, I mean, for all the same reasons you can say about the Buccaneers is that, you know, they have a somewhat aging quarterback, even though he just won back-to-back MVPs. He's not going to get any younger, and for all the whining and complaining he did this offseason, you really don't want him getting hit. So he is an asset worth protecting.
Don't you want to see Jordan Love play?
No.
But I have Linderbaum here because I think they realize that, A, it's a value in terms of talent, which is, I'm sure, why you had him go pick four and why I have him picking here. But he just made, like, they realized last year that, wow, we miss Corey Linsley. You know, Corey Linsley was great for that, is a great player now with the Chargers. And I think Linderbaum steps right in, fills that void, and easy pick in terms of value. Now, next pick, the Chiefs, a team that's picking twice as of now, because I could totally see one of these picks going for Deebo Samuel if that, you know, come to it, as I'm sure Deej would love. But who do you have the Chiefs taking here at 29 via the 49ers through the Dolphins, thanks to the trade? I believe it's the Trey Lance trade as well.
Yeah. So I have the Chiefs picking back to back. I'll tell you both my picks. Devontae Wyatt, who in terms of talent should be a first round pick, plays defensive tackle, played at Georgia, but he's just been super solid throughout his career, played in the super great Georgia defensive line. And with a defensive line that really struggled to put pressure on the passer, I think they go Devontae Wyatt, and I'll give him Jahan Dotson, a wide receiver from Penn State. And now that Tyreek Hill is gone, they really lack some firepower at wide receiver. Juju Smith-Schuster is a very solid player who I like a lot, but he doesn't unlock the deep third of the field that a guy like Jahan Dotson could.
Yeah, and I will note that as of now, the Chiefs do have 2 second-round picks. That's where I think they'll address wide receiver, which is why I don't have them taking wide receiver right here. I have them addressing the secondary. I have them taking Kyler Gordon, a guy that's been quietly rising in this process for the last month. I think it makes a lot of sense to fill that secondary up. It needs a lot of talent. And on that note, just because they added Justin Reed doesn't mean they're done addressing safety. Lewis Cine out of Georgia, you know, we're both going Georgia players in a way, is a really strong player that's only going this late because he's a safety. Again, might be a reach. I could totally see him slipping the second round because of safeties being devalued. But we saw how much of a liability Daniel Sorensen was last year. I think they're going to try to plug that up now with a really talented player.
Was he 49? Was he 48 or 49? I forget.
Position?
No, his number.
Number. Yeah, that's what I meant. I think he was 48, but don't quote me on that.
That was a meme for quite a while, which I really enjoyed. Was if you see 48, throw it at him, and you'll probably complete your pass.
Yeah, so trying to avoid being a meme, it tends to be a good start. Don't be a meme, Chiefs, and take Lewis on.
Yeah.
But that would be number 29, and that'll be number 30. So the Bengals step on the clock at 31. Who would have thought the Bengals are picking 31, not through a trade?
Insane.
Isn't that wild? Felt wrong typing in, to be honest. But I have them taking Devontae Wyatt, where I don't know if Wyatt will be a first-round guy. I do worry about his upside and when – if he doesn't have the supreme upside. And also his production, he has none of it prior to this year. And even this year wasn't all that, like, production-wise. It was really just a lot of run stuffing. And that'll work for the Bengals. The Bengals can use that. The Bengals can fill that defensive line up. Devontae Wyatt can step right in. Good pedigree. And it makes a lot of sense for this team with suddenly not a ton of holes to take the chance.
Yeah, and I'll go Kair Elam, I believe is how you say his name, the cornerback from Florida who's kind of been rising through this. Yeah. And now that since we've seen the Bengals acquire some pretty solid offensive linemen through free agency, I think they can address the Eli Apple shaped hole in their secondary. So I'll give them Milan.
Oh, Eli Apple wasn't, truthfully, Eli Apple was not even that bad for them. But and Eli Apple is back. But I do like that pick. That when teams have no clear holes anymore, they tend to go corner because you can never have enough corners, and all of a sudden that need is real. So I do like that pick quite a lot. So the last pick of the draft, the Lions picking through the Rams. The Lions, who earlier did take Trevon Walker out of Georgia. We agree for the last pick. Agreed. Isn't that wild? What a wacky world this is.
A great
you
draft.
Kick it off. You kick it off. You end this thing.
All right. Yeah. So Desmond Ridder is a quarterback that we talked about pretty poorly when we went over our quarterbacks, but a lot of people like him more than we do, and he's been talked about as a first round talent. And this pick is a perfect spot for them to kind of roll the dice on a quarterback and let them play behind Jared Goff, who is a serviceable quarterback. Won't get it done when the Lions rise to relevance in 15-ish years. But Desmond Ridder is a solid roll of the dice. He's a high ceiling player, and I think this is a good position for the Lions to not have to reach on a quarterback.
Yeah, and I think I also have Desmond Ridder. I think this just makes so much sense. Where I do think the Lions are content with Jared Goff. I think Dan Campbell likes him a lot, honestly. Now, sticking here at 32, if they have a guy they like, this is a dream come true. This is a Lamar Jackson situation where they identify a guy that we're not going to jump for him in the way that the Patriots didn't jump for Mac Jones. But if he's there, we're going to smash that pick. We're going to make that decision. Desmond Ridder could be the guy for them. And it just makes so much sense. When you're at 32, last pick of the first round, get that fifth-year option. That's why I think they go quarterback here. Fifth-year option is so much more valuable for a quarterback than anyone else. It makes a lot of sense. Desmond Ridder rounds out the first round at 32. Who would have thought I would have four quarterbacks going in the first round?
But five went in the top 15 last year. I missed last year already.
I missed last year. I missed the year before that. But we have 2023 to look forward to. And more importantly, we have next week, Riley. Because next week, a few things are happening. We will still have our show next week, much shorter than this week. So obviously, this week was a treat. But next week, we'll be breaking down our bold predictions. We'll bring up some bold predictions for the draft as well as some dream locations. And keep it nice, short, because on Thursday, day one of the draft, I will be hosting alongside Club Fantasy and some other awesome people from there and some awesome rotating guests throughout the night from 7:15 to midnight. We will be with you hosting the entire show and hosting the NFL draft. Not Riley, but me. I'll miss you though, Riley. As Riley and my roommates cheer from the side, I will be breaking down everything you want from 7:15 p.m. EST to midnight for the entire first round. Everything you could possibly want. Definitely tune in for that. Gonna be a ton of fun. I'm already looking forward to it. But that is our show for this week. Thank you guys for tuning in. I want to give some shout out to For Frequency's Sake for hosting us as always. And of course to IDP guys. For the awesome overlay, the awesome logo, for the overlay that also doesn't block the amazing Twitter handle of @Michael_Sicoli. Thank you to Nathan as well. And, of course, you can follow me there, Michael_Sicoli. You follow Riley @Riley_Millett. Again, stay tuned for the show next week as well as for the draft next week. Very exciting stuff coming up. All this work we've done has culminated to this morning, to this moment, Riley.
Absolutely. How does that feel? So excited.
So excited. You sound so excited. So excited. And that will be our show. Thank you guys for staying with us. We will see you next week.